can I ask you to start off with, those of you who are sitting here this morning, and those of you at home, think about it as well. Are you waiting for things to be back to normal? Well done. Well, the majority of you are not. Well done. Because I've got news for you. Things are not going back to normal. Neither do I believe the future of the church will be Zoom meetings and the like. Yes, amen. Let's hear you. God has no intention of taking us back to what is past. And just at that point, I just want to say about the message that Linda gave there about somebody living in regret. And there is nothing in God's word that causes us or instructs us to go back into the past. God is always wanting us to be present and looking to the future. So if you're that person today, God has no intentions of taking you back to the past. The past is gone. Walk away, leave it. God has no intentions of taking us back to what is past, but moving us on to new things, new ways, new adventures with him. I want to just a short reading from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The Lord sees the ongoing difficulties and havoc COVID-19 is causing. But can I encourage you? He's making a way where there was no way before COVID-19. It's going to become clear. He's doing a new thing. Can you believe it? Are you willing to accept it? God wants us to live every day in the light of eternity. And eternity is all about making things new. The reading I've been given for today is Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. And it's a beautiful glimpse into our eternal home. It's one of those things, if you were watching it on a film, there'd be this blast of music and this rumble and thunder and lightning. But we haven't got any of that today. But we've got the truth of God's word. So Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And then he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now some say, well, you know, all this heaven stuff and glory. Oh, that's pie in the sky when you die. Well, I want to tell you today, friends, that there's some steak on the plate while we wait. Okay? Some of the new things of God are not just reserved for eternity, but they're for now. God wants us to receive new things now. I'll give you a few examples, but the Bible's full of them. Now, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Not a patch-up job. When you came to Christ, he didn't patch your life up. He gave you a new life. You're a new creation. Now we have the new birth. Now we have a new heart. Now we have new life in Christ. That's now. We're not waiting for it to come at a later time, at the end of time, in eternity. We have this now, folks. And if you haven't got it, it's time you did. Sorry, that's how it is. Just think about it. Linda was coming in to this place this morning, just blessed, you know, early morning, just blessed by what God's fingerprints over everything, by what he's doing. God gives us every day, and every day, folks, is a new day. And it's filled with God's mercy towards us, which is also new. We have a new hope. We have a new hope. Not a hope that's here today and gone tomorrow, but a hope for now that takes us into eternity. That's some big hope. And there's so many more new things God has for us now. Just a few examples. When Peter walked on the water, ooh, that was new. Haven't seen that before. Jesus fed loads of people from a little boy's lunch. Ooh, that was new. Haven't seen that before. What about the resurrection? That really was new. That was amazing. God raised his son, Jesus, from the dead. God wants us to live in the light of eternity. We live now, but in the light of eternity. I like Rob's picture. It's terrific, isn't it? About, you know, all this is going on, but hey, the light of Christ is shining around me, you know? I'm not of this darkness. Now we're looking at Abraham. Abraham, an Old Testament man of faith. Now he knew this secret about living in the light of eternity. He actually lived 2,000 years before Jesus even came. One day God said to Abraham, Abraham, go. God didn't even tell him where to go. Just said, go, Abraham, go. Abraham went. That's obedience, that's faith. He just went. Why? Hebrews tells us because Abraham looked to a city whose architect and builder is God. You see, Abraham could leave where he was and he could step out in faith because he had his eyes on this city that is to come, this holy city, the New Jerusalem. He already saw that back in Genesis. He had his eyes fixed on that city whose builder and maker was God. Builder and architect, actually, and maker was God. And because of that, if God said go, even if he didn't know where to go, he knew where he eventually would go, and he went. No wonder he's called a man of faith. And then, get this, God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac, the very son he'd promised him. It was a miracle he had him anyway, because him and his wife were well past it in every respect of the word. But God gave him a son, Isaac, and then later The Lord said, Abraham, I want you to take that son, your only son, Isaac, up onto Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham went, didn't hesitate. He went. When his boy Isaac said, Dad, why are we going up on the mountain? He said, we're going to worship, son. We're going to worship. Wow. Abraham almost sacrificed that boy. He had that knife. He had him tied up on the altar. He had that knife raised up. And he nearly did it, except for God intervened. And we know the story, don't we? But actually, Hebrews tells us that Abraham reasoned that if he did take the life of his son, because God was totally involved in Abraham's life and the life of his son, that he could raise him from the dead. And the resurrection of the dead had never been thought of at an earthly level by this time. That's amazing. This guy's living back in Genesis in the Bible. And he reasoned that if his son died, that God could raise him from the dead. And the reason he could do that was because he was living each day in the light of eternity. Each day in the light of eternity. Wow. He hadn't even heard of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he already was acting in faith upon it. It's wonderful, wonderful. God wants us to live every day in the light of eternity. Some say you're too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. Well, I think that's rubbish. We need to be heavenly minded if we're going to be of any earthly use. Do you know what? I think every martyr of Jesus Christ that has ever walked upon this earth lived this way. They lived each day in the light of eternity, when they were beheaded, when they were killed, all sorts of manners of, you know, for all sorts of manner of things. And it's still happening today. Christians give their lives all over the world rather than deny Christ. Why? Because they're living each day in the light of eternity. So to conclude, Matt, you'll be pleased to hear. So to conclude, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. First, the kingdom of God. And beckon its coming. Pray for its coming. Pray that the things of that kingdom would come today. As we know, in eternity, there's going to be no sickness, no death, no mourning. Let's pray for that now. Mm. You know, even in recent days, people have been raised from the dead. I'm not talking about the resurrection, but raised back to this life. Oh, I wonder if that really happened. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And it can happen here. We need to begin to believe that God can take what is in the future and bring it, do new things today, here, amongst us, ordinary people. Fix our eyes on Jesus and walk in newness of life. Now, let's press on and take hold of the new things Heavenly Father has for us all now. And let us live every day in the light of eternity. Can I pray? Yeah. Can I pray? Father, I know that you want to do a new thing amongst us. Lord, I know you've planted the seed. I can feel, and I know others are feeling, there's something springing up. There's There's some life beginning to shoot up, Lord. And we pray, Father, as your people, that we would take hold of that which you've taken hold of us. Lord, we pray that we would be a people who pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, with real passion, believing that you can do it in each one of us, Lord, that you can do new things in and through us, Lord, that you can make a difference in this world today. We can make a difference, Lord, because you are with us, because your spirit fills us. Your spirit doesn't fill us just to bless us, which you do, Holy Spirit, and we thank you, but your spirit, Holy Spirit, you want to fill us and overflow us. You want that river of life to flow out of us and touch the lives of others. It's for a lot of us, it's going to be new. But Lord, we're ready to embrace the new. We want to march forward in the light and the life and the power of your resurrection. Lord, we want some of what you've saved up for us in eternity. What you've got for us here, we want it now. Lord, change our hearts. Lead us on. Cause us to march in time with your kingdom and take hold of all of these good things that you do for us to change our lives, change our communities. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Amen.